Now, listening to music might be something you do all the time. On the radio when you're driving, watching a movie when that score starts to play, maybe you've started seeing your favorite bands live in concert again, in person or online. Our next guests say all of these musical activities have a connection to our well-being, and they say music can be a big force for good as we grow older. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What connection does music have to your life? Is there a song, a band, an album that makes you feel better when you listen to it? How's your relationship with music changed throughout your life? Do you play music? Do you think it has some kind of a therapeutic value for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dean Vondras is a professor of psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, and Scott Mady is an emeritus professor of psychology at Shippensburg University. They're the authors of the new book, Music, Wellness, and Aging, Defining, Directing, and Celebrating Life. There's an accompanying a YouTube series of play-along music you can listen to as well. Dean, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
And Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, Scott, I think a lot of us may know we like music and might make us feel a little happier. This connection to health, though, especially as we age, before we get into some of the details about how that works, how big a deal can music be when it comes to healthy aging?
It can be quite a big deal. I think it helps us in a number of ways when it comes to our health. Not only gives us an emotional release, it helps our moods. It also motivates us to engage in behaviors. We see that in exercise behavior and a whole host of things. It also connects us to other people that can also be a support network for us.
And Dean, we'll talk mostly about music, but I want to talk a little about aging, because one point that keeps coming out through your book is sometimes we think of aging as a pathology, a series of illnesses and declines and things like that. And you were, I think, really trying to make us think about it in a different way as a life change that we can adapt to in better or worse ways. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, music tells a story about life, and we see it as a window to look into what's going on in adulthood, what's going on in later life. So it reveals to us, music does, aspects about ourselves in particular ways that we don't often maybe recognize or reflect upon. And it sort of directs our focus now on aging, our concern about getting older and what later life is, to onto those things. And so music becomes a special window for us, allows us to look at aging in a humanistic way. And I think in that sense, we can take advantage of what it means to be a person at midlife or in later adulthood, how we're becoming yet, how we can see old age beyond the idea or framework of biological decline, to see it as still an experience, an opportunity for new growth, new understanding of self, new experiences in life.
Scott, can you talk some about the connection between music and memory in particular?
Well, memories, yes, simply put, is quite complex. But one way we can think of music and memory is how it helps us in terms of our, if we play music, how we can remember the pieces we play, how we learn an instrument. When it comes to our listening, how does music spark emotions, memories for past events, and those types of things? We certainly have areas of the brain, of course, that have been shown to reflect memory stores. And so, we have implicit memories, for instance, that allows us to play an instrument. When we use an explicit memory, if we're trying to learn a piece of music or actually playing the music, we have what's called a musical memory area of the brain that basically seems to be somewhat the last bastion of memory systems for music when we have experienced things like dementia. So it's been found to be its own kind of storage place for music. So all of these are related to memory, and then certainly we can talk more about how we can improve our memories for music, like if we're practicing, for instance, like common things like chunking and block practices versus random practicing and phrasing of musical phrases and, you know, starting slow with strategies.
Well, Dean, I want to stick with memory. I'm doing an experiment on myself in some ways. I just sorted through my CD collection. I stopped buying CDs many years ago. As I listen to things, it's this window into my life then. How much does the music we listen to at different ages help us, maybe as we grow older, connect to that past self of ours?
Good question. Well, keep buying the CDs, keep listening to
I stream new stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, and there's so much, if you like experimental music, new music, new kinds of music, I think it starts to allow us to think again about life experiences, if you will, and connect that way. So music is invigorating in lots of ways. Certainly cognitively, it sort of opens up our thinking a little bit more, if you will, allows us to make those kinds of connections. And I think if you're thinking about the yourself and development and considering how you heard the music at an earlier time in life and how you hear it now, maybe there's a new interpretation for you. You can hear an old song and think of it in a new way. Maybe a song you didn't recognize or like very much now is a favorite song for you. I think, you know, as we think about other kinds of music from throughout the world and different sorts of genre, we can, you know, take advantage of trying out some of these new sounds and seeing ourselves maybe within that cultural setting. That's, an opportunity to, you know, expand and grow in kind of a cognitive, neural, psychological way, perhaps, making new connections like that. But also, I think, in terms of how we see ourselves in the broader sphere of what the world is to us as we get older. When we're younger, as adolescents and young adults, we're probably pretty egocentric. Everything's about us, and we're filtering it through our particular lens. But at midlife and in old age, the new adventure is to see ourselves in this collective, cross-cultural way, to see the commonalities we share with people from all different kinds of backgrounds. And I think that can take us into lots of new kinds of reflections about how we are and who we are. So those old CDs, those old songs, I think reflect our history, reflect our past, were part of our milestones in growing up. And I think we can cherish those and celebrate those still in later life.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Kaukauna. Michael, hi.
Hi. An artist that's, that spans many genres who just brings you joy to my heart every time I hear him sing is Van Morrison. Just something about doesn't have the best voice in the world, but he moves through it and just everything. He scats all, everything I've ever heard from his, it just made me smile.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Dean, a phrase used, brings joy to my heart. Could you talk about the solace, the joy that music can offer, which is a big part of our well-being?
Yeah, music has this quality. It has this effect. It's a phenomena that embraces us, and we're immersed in that sound. It's almost like the music has the same qualities of wonderful and beautiful voices, as the caller mentioned, that somehow, you know, pierce through and touch us at our most inner point. And since ancient times, this has been recognized that this particular sound, a particular timbre of an instrument or a person's voice just seemed to elicit from us certain kinds of feelings of happiness, joy, comfort, even to add all to all those positive kinds of emotions that we might express. But I think, you know, there's something to that, that as we age, especially get older and have this opportunity to reflect, to say, you know, what I'm hearing, I can hear in a new way too. When I was younger, didn't have a great love for the fourth grade band, which plays in unison usually and out of tune, and it sounds very interesting. But now, as in later in life, I'm thinking that's one of the most beautiful sounds and beautiful symbolisms of what we do as a community, the teacher hoping for the students to do their best, the students following that instruction so carefully and trying their best. And at that moment, I think that is a beautiful music, too. So even, you know, you don't have to play all the right notes, but it's what we do collectively to, you know, communicate. Music's a language that tells us about ourselves, and we can speak about our culture, our social circumstance, about our hopes, about our love. So all kinds of things. I mentioned positive concerns, but, you know, there are all other aspects of our emotions, too, that we find also represented musically.
Talking to Scott Mady and Dean Vondras. They're the authors, co-authors of the new book, Music, Wellness, and Aging, Defining, Directing, and Celebrating Life. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you find that music has an impact, a benefit for your emotional well-being, your mental health, maybe even your physical well-being? Do you lean on music when you exercise, when you need a boost in your mood or somebody to commiserate with you in the bad mood? I've been listening to that new Adele album a lot lately, for example. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you broke up, I recommend it. Or you could post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our discussion about the role of music in all stages of our lives, especially as we age. Our guests are Dean Vondras from UW-Green Bay, Scott Mady from Shippensburg University. They're authors of the new book, Music, Wellness, and Aging, Defining, Directing, and Celebrating Life. You can call in with your thoughts on what music means to you, what benefits it has to you, the joy it brings, maybe the healthier emotional and mental well-being along with it. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Mike, hi.
Hey, Dean and Scott, right?
That's right, yeah.
Hey, great. I remembered. I'm a senior citizen in my upper 60s, and I have just so much enjoyed your presentation on the radio today. I plan to get your book and read it. I have never learned to play a musical instrument, but I think I'm going to try that. I'm a big lover of music. Anyhow, I thank you so much for your presentation. I wanted to make one comment.
Sure.
That's kind of funny, where you had mentioned opening your mind to new genres of music, right? And recently, I discovered this, I think it's called EDM, electronic dance music.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, I never really listened to that. I just didn't, you know, I never went to a rave or took ecstasy or any of that. But I stream it on my Bose headphones while I'm doing housework. And it is just amazing how much housework I can get done.
I love it.
It's kind of like it matches a certain vibration, or it just communicates to me well, where I get into action and before you know it, the house is clean.
Mike, thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah, drum and bass DJ sets on YouTube have gotten me through the pandemic. A search Delta Heavy, Mike, on a DJ set on YouTube. I think you'll be rewarded. So I love that that Mike is discovering new music. Dean, he opened himself up to a whole new genre. I don't know. I feel like our brains are growing as we discover new music.
Oh, there's so much music to listen to, electronic music. What's not to love about that? The excitement, the rhythmic pulse. It's, you know, one of the neurological things that occurs is the, you know, coalescence of the tempo of the music with neuroelectrical activity of the brain that starts to get things in sync. So in our book, we discuss this phenomena. And, you know, there's a song by Kiki D Band called I've Got the Music in Me. So it gives us a whole new understanding what's going on as we listen to music, how it really, you know, penetrates into us. It overtakes our own neural electrical neurological kinds of functions and starts to move us in a particular way, we think, at least from that kind of neurological evidence. So I think there's lots there to consider. And again, all kinds of music. And, you know, if you're not, haven't played a musical instrument before, just listening to music, I think, is something that anybody can do, and everybody can do that. But playing simple, you know, picking a simple instrument, you know, if you tap your foot, keep beat somehow as you listen to music, you're already a drummer. So maybe we're all born drummers to begin with. So I think there's all kinds of access points for people to find to become involved in music, and listening and appreciating and going to concerts and talking about it are ways to become involved in that social experience that music affords us.
Yeah, and Scott, Mike had mentioned he's thinking of learning a new instrument in his late 60s, I think he said. I think a lot of people would say, oh, no way, it's too late for me. We could still get a lot out of learning an instrument at any age, right?
Yeah, yes, correct. Yeah, just to borrow a phrase, just do it. you know, and as Dean mentioned, sometimes, you know, a simpler instrument is a good place to start. You know, a recorder, a little drum pad. But, you know, start listening to music. And by doing that, listen to what maybe strikes you, that you find a particular instrument that you find interesting to hear. And that may be the one that you want to gravitate toward to learn. You know, there's no prescription, there's no formula to pick up an instrument. I think any of us that played an instrument do look back and say, how did I pick that up? And how did I stick with it? So I don't think there's really any sort of thing you can tell someone. Is just do it, I guess, is what I would say.
Thanks again for that call. Good luck with the musical instrument learning. We're talking to Scott Mady and Dean Vondras, co-authors of the new book, Music, Wellness, and Aging. Back to your calls now. Matt is with us in Green Bay. Matt, hi.
Hey, I have autism.
Uh-huh.
I love 80s music.
Do you have a favorite, Matt?
Usually I like Aha.
Okay.
I usually like Dua Lipa.
And I got to ask, Matt, did you grow up in the 80s or did you discover it even though you're younger than that?
I'm 13 years old.
13. Okay. Yeah, this is, Matt, I'll point you in a direction. Find Gary Newman from the 1980s and he's still doing music now and it's still good. Matt, thank you so much for sharing that. I love it. Dean, Matt sought out music from a previous generation. He said he's 13, he has autism, and he's getting a lot of benefit from the music that I'll admit I grew up with.
Yeah, it's interesting that we hear music, and maybe some of the best music is the older music from the 80s. And again, the particular orchestration, the style of music that speaks to us now, you know, in the 21st century. So, my son is into music from the 90s. Now we're listening to music from the 60s and Woodstock era. So I don't know how far we'll go back. You know, Scott plays music that goes back to the 20s and 30s, and so do I. And it's still great music. So why not play it? Why not listen to it? And to kind of, again, think about playing musical instruments, harmonica is a great instrument to pick up, and you can get the blues harmonica and always sound great, usually. Play along with the radio, play along with Spotify. So there's always all kinds of ways to be involved. I should mention, too, that joining a community choir, a community band, is kind of interesting. And Scott belongs to one in Pennsylvania. He actually is in a couple of different groups. But the director there that's interviewed for the book, he mentions that when we think about community music and how it's a point of access for folks, it's an open audition. Everybody can come. And the catchphrase that's used that I really like is, you know, your best is good enough. There's always opportunity to learn. So everybody can be involved.
Thanks again for that call. Scott, we just have a couple minutes left now. We've covered some of this now, but what kind of things are you hoping people take away from this book when it comes to their relationship with music?
Well, I think, you know, a couple of sort of my closing ideas are play more, become involved with music. You know, as we mentioned, pick up an old instrument if you haven't played in a while. Get out your vinyl records, you know, get out your CDs, get out your old tape players if you still have something that can play them. You know, pick up a new instrument, as Mike said, or join a choir or a vocal group. So get involved in music that way. Listen to music. Hopefully the book will inspire people to do that. There's no matter where you live, there are free concerts, there are performances, local high schools, colleges, concerts in the park. So I think the book, you know, focuses on this sort of phenomenology, this experience we have with music, this joy and this transcendence, this movement beyond just our everyday lives to something special. And I think that's hopefully what people will take away from this book.
Well, we'll leave it there. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
And Dean, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
That was Scott Mady of Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania and Dean Vondras from UW-Green Bay. They're with us today to talk about their new book. It's called Music, Wellness, and Aging, Defining, Directing, and Celebrating Life. You can find a link to that at WPR.org/Central Time and look for that title, Music, Wellness, and Aging on YouTube if you'd like. They've got playlists that go along with a lot of the points they make along the way in the book.